Welcome to the Sportscast, October 7th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. Visit us on sportscast.net and check us out on Twitter, the Sportscast One, and also our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Last night, it was the battle of the horses, the Colts and the Broncos. It was predicted to be an ugly game, and it was an ugly game. And joining us today for the first time this season, who had his third baby in 4 years, and his third baby recently, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. I appreciate you having me.
Jeff, what a season so far. Last night, two teams that are going through two new quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, another, I would say, a last-minute fumble or mistake, but his pass to Cortland Sutton was swatted away by Stephon Gilmore. Your thoughts on Thursday Night Football between the Broncos and Colts?
Yeah, I mean, for the Broncos, their defense is encouraging. You know, their defense has played well and kept them in games. So I guess if you wanted to look at one positive for them, it's that. But, you know, I don't know that I've ever watched a team that's as bad as they are in situational football. And, you know, everybody's focusing on the last-second play where Wilson missed Hamler. And don't get me wrong. He should have made the play, right? He should have made that play. But the one that I just cannot get over is the 3rd and 4 interception in the end zone. You know, you just can't throw that ball. I don't know how else to say it. Like, all you have to do there, you can take a sack, you can take off and run, even if you get no yards and you get tackled. And you pick a short field goal. And if you do that, you're up by 6 points. And the Colts offense has not played well. The Broncos defense has played great. So do you really think the Colts are going to drive the length of the field and score a touchdown to win the game? So I just don't understand, in that scenario, forcing the ball into the end zone against the Colts' best corner. That is just, you just don't expect that from a veteran quarterback. And that's the play to me I just don't get. I mean, look, we know the Broncos' offense isn't very good. We know the Colts' offense isn't very good. And both defenses, you know, the Broncos have a good defense. The Colts are pretty good up front. So you expect an ugly game. But there's a difference between an ugly game and just doing downright stupid things in those situations.
New coach, new quarterback. This game featured 7 field goals, a dozen punts, 25 third down stops, 4 interceptions, and 6 fumbles, none of which were recovered by the otherwise disruptive defenses. Jeff, you know, which I mentioned before, new coach, new quarterback. Is it going to take some time to gel? Or what we see now, it's going to be what we're going to see in the foreseeable future?
I don't think either quarterback is going to find the fountain of youth. You know, with the Colts, Matt Ryan just, I don't know. He just does not look comfortable. And their offensive line isn't playing great. With Russell Wilson, there's a part of me that thinks it has to get a little bit better, but now they lost their left tackle for the foreseeable future, so that's just going to make the offensive line play worse. And truth be told, man, look, I get it. There's been a lot of change. Like you said, new quarterback, new coach. That takes time. I get that. But I don't care what the offense is, who the coach is, who the quarterback is. On that third quarter draw, I think it was in the third quarter, Russell Wilson, off his back foot, just throws a complete like Hail Mary lollipop into the middle field to the Colts safety. I mean, I don't care what the offense is, you just can't do that. Like, you don't just throw away points and just throw the ball up for whoever's closest to it. And the same with the interception we already talked about in the end zone. I just don't know what Russell Wilson's going through, but those plays have nothing to do with running a new offense or having a new coach. That's just bad situational football.
Russell Wilson is not running as much, Jeff. He's throwing the ball more. Do you think he should go back to his old ways like he did in Seattle and, you know, move around a little bit more?
And I see everybody talking about that, but Russell Wilson isn't a young quarterback anymore. I don't think he's, you know, he's still athletic enough to run a bit, but he doesn't challenge defense that way like he used to. So, look, you know, he's also taking a lot of hits. You know, he took more hits than Ben Roethlisberger. And we always think of Ben Roethlisberger as being the poster boy for taking too many hits. And Russell's been hit more than he has. So when I look at him running more, I mean, yeah, he should pick his spots and be aggressive. But, you know, you don't want him taking more hits than he has to. So I don't really think that's the answer to fixing the offense either.
Nyheim Hines got the start for the Colts last night, but he went out with a head injury after his third snap when DJ Jones knocked him down and Hines' helmet bounced on the ground. He wobbled as he tried to leave the field on his own and had to be guided to the sideline where he was evaluated for a concussion. These concussion issues has been an issue for the NFL lately, especially with Tua. But do you think teams and maybe the NFL will be more careful with these players?
There's always going to be two types of guys. And look, some guys are just, unfortunately, some guys won't know the seriousness of it until after they're done playing. And then some guys understand how important it is and they'll get themselves off the field. I will say this, the visual of Tua might stick with some people because that fencing response that he went through, I mean, that was rough, man. I mean, that was difficult to see. But how long does that last? You know, for the next couple weeks, people are going to be very self-aware. And that visual is going to be burned into their minds. But how long does that last? I don't know.
Yeah, the question mark, of course, was Tua, who got two concussions last week. Will not be playing this week against the New York Jets. This Colts team that won last night also beat the Chiefs a few weeks ago, 22-17. How do you see the state of the Kansas City Chiefs? You know, now they're not, I mean, without Tyreek Hill, and they're 3-1, top of the AFC West, which is not in play like people predicted. But what are your thoughts so far with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, so here's what we're going to learn about them. I think any team can have a week that they just don't play well. The difference is traditionally the Chiefs would play poorly but find a way to win in the end. And against the Colts, they just had so many mistakes. You know, special teams missing a field goal, failing on a punt, a muffed punt that gave the Colts a 5-yard touchdown. So here's the encouraging thing. The next week against arguably the best defense in the NFL, the Chiefs' offense just made the Bucs look they made them look bad. So the Raiders have not played well, and I know they just beat the Broncos, but overall the Raiders have not played well to this point. So I think on Monday Night Football, are the Chiefs just going to be this inconsistent team that one week looks great and the next week looks terrible? Or do they just, you know, look, it's the NFL. It stinks to lose to a team like the Colts. But it was just, it was a bad game. I mean, they just played terrible. And despite playing terrible, the Colts had to score a touchdown with like 30 seconds left to win the game. So I wouldn't write the Chiefs off just because they had one really bad game. But let's see what they do now. Like, let's see what they do after looking really, really good against the Bucks. Are they going to continue to play well? I can't imagine that they don't show up versus the Raiders. But that's the thing about early season football. We just don't know yet. Are they gonna play well against the Raiders, and it's just going to turn out that the Colts game was an aberration? We'll find out. You know, I think they're going to continue to play well. And I think that maybe Andy just realized that the recipe for this team is a little bit different. You know, I was so pleasantly surprised that the way they committed to the run game against the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers are supposed to be a team that you just can't run the ball against. And the Chiefs had their way running the ball against them. So if they can run it against the Bucs, they can run it against anybody. And it's just a matter of, will the Chiefs stay committed to it on a weekly basis? If they do, and the defense is going to get a couple guys back here in the next few weeks, they could be formidable.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been the main guy in the rushing. I had 92 yards against the Bucs. The receiving, it was predicted Kelce will step it up. He had 92 yards against the Bucs. Who is that number two receiver that Mahomes will go to? Will it be Valdez-Scantling, Jeff?
To this point, it seems it's Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, he's played pretty well consistently. I think Kelce, I mean, obviously Kelce's the clear number one. But I don't know that this year's offense is going to have a clear-cut number two. Juju is probably statistically going to be that guy. Scantling may have a big game here and there. And you know what, man? I still think Mecole Hardman will have a couple games where he'll make those big splash plays. You know, he hasn't been completely healthy. And look, Mecole is what he is. I don't want to bash the guy, but I don't know that he'll ever be a true number two receiver or a go-to guy. But what he does bring you is he just has world-class speed, top five fastest player in the NFL. So he's still going to have games where he's going to make those big, you know, 50 and 60 and 70. So some weeks he'll be that guy. But I think in terms of a consistent week-to-week player, it looks like it's going to be Juju. He's going to be that guy.
Juju Smith-Schuster, former Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. Going back to that Colts game, there was a scuffle between Mahomes and offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. Your thoughts on that? Was that an issue overblown, or there is some friction there?
If you've played sports, you've probably had a blow up with a teammate or a coach. You know, that's tough to say. I would never bet my savings on who's calling the plays in Kansas City. It's a weird feel to it sometimes. Is Andy Reid making play calls? Is it Bieniemy more often than not? I just don't know, man. I really don't. I look at it and I say Andy Reid doesn't have the call sheet for no reason. And when you look at that game against the Bucs, you would say, oh, man, that looked like an Andy Reid game. Like, that looked like one of those games where the defense just has no idea what hit them. That's a staple of Andy Reid. But at the same time, it's probably not fair to then say, oh, that Colts game was because Bieniemy was calling the plays. I don't think that's necessarily fair because Andy Reid is a great coach, but he's had a history of, you know, he's had a history of having games show up where he just you know, just doesn't look right. The offense looks disjointed. So I don't think it's – I like I said, I would not want to make a definitive statement, but I just think Mahomes and Bienemy both have fiery personalities, and sometimes it boils over. I wouldn't make anything more of it than that.
That's a bad day in Indianapolis. The next three games for the Chiefs, as Jeff mentioned, Raiders on Monday Night Football this weekend. Then they got the Bills. Then they got the 49ers, which are getting a little bit hot with Jimmy Garoppolo now the starting quarterback this season. What is your expectations for the next 3 weeks? Is it a win out, or it might be just one win with the Raiders?
I mean, look, you should win your home games, and playing the Bills at home is helpful. You know, they'll be heavily favored against the Raiders. You know, the Bills game, that's probably a toss-up. It's just, I'll tell you, man, I love the Bills roster, but I do think we were a little bit quick to crown them the best team in the AFC, and it's funny because the Bills' defense has been decimated by injuries. But when I've watched, their defense has played better than their offense. So if they're an all-world team, why isn't the offense clicking yet? So I would not write off the Chiefs against the Bills. That's all I'm saying. And especially after that performance against the Bucs. You know, the Bucs' defense was thought to be, I mean, the Chiefs scored more in the first half against the Bucs than what the Bucs had given up the entire year. That doesn't happen by accident. So, I like the Chiefs' chances in every game, especially since they play the Raiders and Bills at home. The 49ers' defense is great, but I still think the problem with the 49ers is that if they get behind, so let's say the Chiefs come out and not necessarily dominate the Niners' defense, but they do enough to get a lead. If they get a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead, do you really want Jimmy Garoppolo trying to lead a comeback? Because I know the Niners they've won a couple games here, but in that game against the Broncos, they had plenty of opportunities for him to hit big plays to take the lead, and he just didn't make the plays. The plays were there, and he didn't get it done. So I just think the 49ers offense is still too limited for them to really make a big run. And Garoppolo, I mean, he is what he is. You know, he's an average quarterback that won't necessarily sink you, but he's not going to really go win the game for you either.
Average quarterback, Jeff said it himself. All right, another great schedule this season. I've been seeing a lot of the big heavy hitters going at it, especially during the early part of the season, like the first half. So definitely looking forward to that 3 weeks. And if you guys do remember that NFL playoff game between the Chiefs and Bills, it was like a basketball game. It was, I think the total points were 80 to 90 points total. Went to, I believe, was it a double overtime, Jeff?
Single overtime, but yeah, it was an overtime game.
Yeah, and of course, the blame was the flip of a coin. That rule got changed because of that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in 2018 when the Patriots won the coin toss and went down and scored. And then in the AFC Championship, the Chiefs won the coin toss against the Bengals and Mahomes threw a pick. So, my opinion, I think people are making too big of a deal about a coin flip. Look, man, you had four quarters to win the game. You didn't do it. You can still get a stop in overtime. The Bengals, I mean, it pains me to say that because that's the worst two quarters in overtime I've ever seen this version of the Chiefs play. But, you know, I think they could have left the rule the way it is. Sometimes people complain about things just to be difficult.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with the Joe Burrows because Cincinnati is not looking too pretty right now, but things could turn around soon. All right, anything else before we head into predictions for this weekend?
Yeah, let's get the predictions.
That is going to – we're going to London, Jeff, if you didn't know this. The Giants are playing the Green Bay Packers. It's a neutral game. First time Aaron Rodgers in an international game, in London at least. What is your prediction? Giants are 3-1. Don't know if there's much say to that. Aaron Rodgers, of course, trying to gel with his new receivers. What's going to happen in London this weekend?
Well, look, the Giants are better than I thought they would be. And if you know anything about this offseason and my thoughts, I desperately wanted the Chiefs to make a play for Saquon Barkley.
You want him?
Yeah, I wanted the Chiefs to try to make a trade for Barkley because Barkley's an elite talent that just has to get healthy. So anyone that's watched him this year to this point, he looks great again. He looks healthy. He's got his burst back. Barkley looks awesome. But with that said, the Packers have a better team. And I think the Packers will win. The Packers defense, man, I like the Packers defense a lot. They get after the quarterback. I don't know when Alexander's coming back. I don't know if he'll be back quite yet. But when he gets back, that gives them another dimension. So I like the Packers. I think the Giants will give them a game, but the Packers will win by, you know, like 24-20.
No donkey, a field goal win. But there is a former Giant, Odell Beckham Jr., who is available, and I think he visited Kansas City this past week. Should the Chiefs take him?
Odell Beckham. Yeah, I mean, I think he's still a ways out from being back. So I don't know, man. I think in an Andy Reid offense, obviously Beckham, if he's healthy, could really make a difference. But I also think the Chiefs are just now getting to a point where there's some continuity. So I don't know if you want to mess that up. I'll tell you, I think the team that's the perfect fit for Odell is actually Green Bay. Green Bay needs more talent at wide receiver. Not that the Chiefs don't. The Chiefs could use an infusion there, too. But I think Green Bay is the team that Odell would be a great fit for.
Lions at New England. Detroit had a fantastic game against Seattle. Jared Goff have so far doing well, gelling with the Lions, of course. Losing against Geno Smith, who's also having a good season. New England took the Packers to overtime with a with a young quarterback, Zay Haley, to overtime. Of course, Packers won. This could be an interesting matchup. What's going to happen in Gillette?
Well, I'll tell you, the Lions offense has really just been something. Far exceeded my expectations, obviously. But, you know, but this feels like one of those games. The other side of it is the Lions defense has been just so bad. I mean, they've been awful. And this feels like one of those games where Belichick just runs the ball a million times and doesn't let the Lions offense have the ball very much. Play physical on defense and do just enough to create a tendency possession. And then they win like 20 because the Lions are nothing. So I like the Patriots because they're playing at home. And I think they'll just do just enough on defense to win a game.
Bailey Zappi had to come in for Brian Hoyer, who had a head injury. And, of course, Mac Jones has a high sprained ankle. So, of course, New England has a good chance now with Zappi Bailey performing well in Green Bay last week. The Chargers, Herbert healed up from that rib cartilage injury, is going up against Cleveland. It'll be at Cleveland, which Cleveland had a great run recently. Who'd you got for that?
This is, you know, Herbert's going to get his numbers. I have no doubt about that. But a couple dynamics here. First of all, the Chargers basically bank on teams not wanting to consistently run the ball. You know, their run defense isn't very good. And I don't know if that's all personnel or some of that strategy. But just everybody that plays the Chargers just runs all over them. And here's the thing, man. A lot of teams will not commit to the run. The Cleveland Browns are not one of those teams. if you play a defense that would allow the Cleveland Browns to run the ball 50 times, they'll run the ball 50 times with a smile on their face. So I look at that, and I just think the combination of that and Myles Garrett going up against backup tackles for the Chargers, I think this is similar to like that New England Lions game where the Browns are going to use the offense to control the pace of the game and keep the Chargers' offense off the field. So I think the Browns are going to win. It'll be an ugly game, but it'll be like 28-24.
And we'll see that glorious logo in the middle, Brownie. So we'll see what happens. Which that game, actually, I think there was a Chargers at Cleveland last year, but this time it will be Tyrod Taylor instead of Baker Mayfield. All right, top of the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-2, is going to Houston. Houston's 0-3. Could this be Houston's first win of the season?
I'm torn on this because I think the Jaguars, okay, so when you say a team is legitimate, I'm not saying like they're a Super Bowl contender, but I think they legitimately have a pretty good roster, and Doug Peterson's a great coach. So I do think the Jags, they're going to continue to be a good team. But with that said, I'm kind of a numbers guy, and this NFL season, it just feels as though there's not necessarily a super dominant team, but there also maybe hasn't been a super horrible team. So I just think it's time. I just think it's time for the Texans to get their win. I think they're just due. And it's a home game, and it's a division game. So I think the Texans are going to pull out like a really close 23-20 type game. And I think they'll do just enough to win.
I feel the same way. I think this might be the weekend Houston will get their win. Of course, the infamous quarterback, Davis Mills. Falcons at Tampa. Tampa had a bad loss against the Chiefs. Atlanta actually beat the Browns this past week, 23-20, and they are in a run. Atlanta with Mariota doing good things so far. What's going to happen at Raymond James?
This is going to be a get-right game for the Bucs, man. I mean, look, even though the Buccaneers lost, I mean, Tom Brady moved the ball all night. And I know, I get it. Like, some of it was junk yards at the end of the game. But look, the Falcons are not going to move the ball against the Bucs defense. And the Bucs, now that they're healthy with Mike Evans and Godwin, you know, the Bucs still have a lot of firepower on offense. So I think this is a blowout, man. I think the Bucs beat them big, like, I don't know, like 30-10 or 30-14.
Even with the bad shoulder of Tom Brady, which he'll be back, he says. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. The Kenny Pickett era has begun. Will he win in Buffalo?
Man, I'll tell you. So last year, the Bills had a couple games they no-showed for. They lost at the Jags, and they actually lost at home to the Steelers, who, as it turns out, were not real good. I look at this game, and I wonder, with the Chiefs game coming up the next week, could the Bills overlook the Steelers? Had they not lost to them last year, I'd say yes. But I think there's a couple things at play here, man. Look, Kenny Pickett had a few nice throws against the Jets. I'm not denying that. But this guy is still a rookie. The Bills' defense is great. And it's in Buffalo. I think this is a game where Kenny Pickett, he's going to turn the ball over a bit. Because he's going to try to make some throws that maybe aren't there. So, I think this is like a 28-17 type game. where maybe it's like the Steelers score a late touchdown to make the score look a little bit better than it was.
Poor guy with the little hands. Miami Dolphins without Tua, with Teddy Bridgewater, going to the New York Jets, who are 2-2. Dolphins are on top of the AFC East with 3-1. What's going to happen there?
I still like the Dolphins, mostly because I don't know that there's a there's a drop-off from Tua to Bridgewater, but I don't think it's enormous. I think Bridgewater can still make the vast majority of the plays that Tua does. And, look, man, the Dolphins, the thing they've done is just create so much team speed. You know, they have a good running back group. Tyreek and Waddle are just incredibly explosive. And then you have, Gesicki, who's a good tight end. On defense, the Jets are down to their fifth and sixth starting tackles. So I think the Dolphins' defense will make just enough plays. And, you know, either Waddle or Hill is probably going to get behind the defense at some point. So I like the Dolphins in a 24-17 type game.
Big test from head coach of the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel. NFC North showdown, Chicago Bears at the Vikings, who are 3-1. And, of course, the Bears, they lost against the Giants last week. What's going to happen in the Vikings stadium?
Well, my first thought is the Vikings defense always seems to play a lot better at home. And, man, the Bears just – I don't want to blame it all on Fields. I don't think that's fair. He's still a young quarterback. He's a young player. Their offense just doesn't seem to have anything that they can rely on. And with the Vikings, Justin Jefferson's a special talent. Thielen still gets open. Dalvin Cook's still an exceptional talent. So when you look at all that, I think the Vikings are just too much playing at home. And, man, I don't know. Like, if the Bears can ugly it up a little bit early in the game, they might keep it close. And division games are always funny. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings win by 10. You know, like 27-17.
We'll see if Mooney will have another good game. Tennessee Titans, who are starting to roll in. Derrick Henry had a good performance last weekend, going against Washington, who's 1-3. Any hope for the Commanders, or is Tennessee going to take it?
Man, so the Titans, I think they have a lot of it, and I never believe in bringing the corpse back from the dead. Right? I think once he's gone, he's gone. And I think that playoff performance by Tannehill last year, I think that's when you kind of bury him. So I just don't have faith that Tannehill's going to play well. But at the same time, the Commanders just, they haven't got it together. And if there's one thing the Titans have going for them, that front four can really get after it. So it feels like a game that the Tennessee defensive line takes over the game, and Carson Wentz is going to turn the ball over, and the Titans will just lean really heavy on Derrick Henry. It'll be a little bit too much, and the Titans are going to win 20-14.
20-14, Tennessee. Seattle, Geno Smith having a fantastic game last weekend. Now going up against New Orleans. What's going to happen there?
I have no earthly clue, man. I mean, this because every week, Geno Smith outperforms my expectations. And he's actually getting to a place where you have to sit back and say, did the Seattle Seahawks improve their quarterback position by trading away Russell Wilson and giving Geno Smith the starting job? I mean, that's where we're at. Now, with that said, playing in New Orleans is really tough. The New Orleans defense will be the best defense that he's played against. And I think the Saints, if the Saints can just get anything out of their offense, they're a pretty good team. So I'm gonna roll with the Saints.
Sorry, go ahead. Finish that thought.
I just don't know score-wise, man. This is a hard game to grasp. But I think it could be like a 28-24 type game. But I just feel weird saying that because I don't see the Saints giving up that many points very often.
And Andy Dalton might be starting again for the Saints. So... And, of course, Seattle has Metcalf, so we'll see what happens. So, Jeff, you picked New Orleans, right?
I lean towards New Orleans because they're at home.
Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo had a great game last week against the Rams, going up against Carolina, who they're about to start Sam the Darnold. What's going to happen? Is the Jimmy G streak going to keep going?
Yeah, the Niners are going to win that game. I mean, their defense is just going to take over that game. I don't know what's going on in Carolina, man. That whole situation is just one giant mess. They can't figure out their quarterback situation. Matt Rule just is all over the place. And I don't know. Or wait, is Matt Rule? That's terrible. I can't even remember if Matt Rule's still there anymore.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He hasn't been fired yet.
Yeah. The Panthers are a mess, man. They are just a mess. And here's the thing about the Niners, man. Their offense is only going to take them so far because they have Garoppolo and they have to play boring ball.
He's an average quarterback.
Yeah, average quarterback with an offensive line that I don't know what the status of Trent Williams is. He doesn't seem healthy. But the Niners' defense is just full of guys that just take joy in inflicting pain. And the 49ers defense, man, is something else. So it just feels like one of those games where the 49ers defense is just going to completely take over the game, and the offense will just do enough to win. So I think it's a game that stays a little bit closer, but then the Niners will score a touchdown late to make it 27-14.
There you have it. San Francisco does it again. The undefeated Eagles, 4-0, going up against Arizona Cardinals. Can this be the first loss of the Eagles, or they keep going and be 5-0 after this weekend?
Man, I love the Eagles roster. I don't know that there's any roster that I think has more consistency across the entire group. And what I mean by that is every unit is good. I don't see any unit that is a tremendous weakness. You know, I'm not saying they have, like, the best player at every position, but they just have so many really good quality players. Now, with that said, not easy to go 4-0. And now I don't want to be harsh. Jalen Hurts has been great, but I've always thought he's a true playmaker. But is he going to be good on a down-to-down basis? Is he going to be a consistent thrower? And when you have a guy like that, a quarterback, you can have slip-ups. It just feels to me that the Eagles are due to have a game where they don't play their best. So this is going to be my upset. Is it in Arizona?
It's in Arizona, in Glendale.
Yeah, I think this is an upset that happens, and it's not because I think the Cardinals are actually the better team. I think it's just because the Eagles are just due to not play their best. And they're not going to go 17-0, obviously. They have to lose at some point. So I just think this is the week they slip up, and it'll be like a 20-17 ugly game where maybe a special teams turnover hurts them.
Arizona has the weapons. Philadelphia, of course, as predicted, like, they were going to be a good team, and it is coming into fruition. So definitely, and also Jalen Hurts, he's throwing the ball really well.
Well, and Hurts is throwing it well, but I will also say the Eagles' offensive design is just so good for making his life simple. I mean, that Eagles offense just creates so many great opportunities for him to make simple throws. And I just love their roster, man. I really do. Like, their offensive line is great. Their wide receivers with Brown and Smith are just tremendous. And Miles Sanders is a really good player. Goddard is a really good player. Like, the Eagles have just done a great job of building a dynamic offense that you can beat people a lot of different ways.
And the Eagle fans are pretty happy. Dallas Cowboys, Cooper Rush, who's 3-0, is going to SoFi Stadium, his debut against the Rams, who are 2-2. All the NFC West teams are 2-2, by the way. Does the Cooper Rush streak continue in L.A., Jeff Fox?
Yeah, it does. And the reason it does is because, A, the Rams just aren't as good as what their name says. Like, they won the Super Bowl, obviously, so they were great last year. They're not great this year. And they miss OBJ. They miss Whitworth. They miss Von Miller. Dude, I just named three premier players they lost. That is a lot to take on. And I'll tell you what. For so many years, for the last 3 years, 4 years, we've said, man, the Cowboys roster is really good. Why don't they win more? And to me, when I watch them, I see a quarterback, Cooper Rush, who has just embraced making the play that is available, but staying within yourself. And every time there's a game in L.A., the opposing team, their fans take over the stadium because nobody in L.A. cares about football at all. So it's going to be a Dallas Cowboys home game. That stadium is going to be 85% Cowboys fans.
And I'm sure there's Cowboy fans in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be almost all Cowboys fans.
Now, here's my philosophy. Keep playing Cooper Rush till he loses.
Well, yeah.
Would you agree with that?
When Dak comes back, he's the starter. Man, Dak's a good quarterback. I think, if you're the Cowboys, you're thankful that Cooper Rush did a good job as a backup quarterback. But if you want to reach your ceiling and be a great team, it has to be with that.
I'm using the Kurt Warner philosophy, but no one's buying it so far.
I do not think that Cooper Rush is Kurt Warner. I'm just not going to go there.
I know. He's not there yet. Well, not there. We'll see if Zeke scores. He hasn't done much this season so far.
Yeah. I mean, I think really the key for Dallas is going to be running the ball, because even though the Rams have Donald, who's an absolute monster, their run defense as a whole has just looked rough. So run it as much as you can. Play Pollard, play Zeke, and keep letting your backup quarterback just manage the game.
We'll see what Coach Jerry Jones says. Cincinnati of Baltimore, Sunday Night Football. Baltimore had a horrendous loss last weekend against
Buffalo.
That's right. I was at the Bills, but I felt like it was like 2 weeks ago. And then Cincinnati, of course, with their struggles, will Harbaugh lean on the analytics, or will he choose his gut to win this game?
You know, the Ravens are a hard team to figure out because they have two of the worst losses I've ever seen. And it happened in a matter of 3 weeks. They blew a 21-point lead to the Dolphins. Nobody covered anyone. And then they blew that lead to the Bills when the Bills were just decimated by injury. Now, to Baltimore's credit, their defense is incredibly beat up too. So I don't want to not acknowledge that. Their defense is missing a ton. But this game, to me, just feels like a game Baltimore has to win. And I know Cincinnati's had their number a little bit, but Baltimore keeps jumping out to these leads and then blowing it. If you jump out to a lead against the Bengals, you should be able to hit the quarterback enough to win the game. You know, Burrow just gets sacked and sacked and sacked. So I look at that, and I think Baltimore, like, I'll pick Cincinnati to win in Cincinnati and Baltimore to win in Baltimore. I think the teams are relatively evenly matched, and I see the Ravens winning this game.
This is not your father's Ravens defense back in the early 2000s, Jeff.
No, it's not. And they still have moments where they look pretty good, but they're just not, they're not nearly as consistent. And unfortunately, what I've noticed is it feels as though when the Ravens blow it, they blow it big. And what I mean by that is it's rare in an NFL game to see a wide receiver like 10 yards behind the defense. And every time I watch the Ravens, that happens. Like, when they blow a coverage, they blow it bad. Like, they, you know, they just, every week it seems like they just have somebody running wide open with nobody in the picture. And that's rare in NFL games.
Interesting. Well, it picks Baltimore. I will pick Baltimore, too. They can't screw up. Marcus Peters, probably their main guy in their defense, so... we'll see what happens. Haven't heard much from Mark Andrews on from the Ravens, so we'll see how that. But it is true what Jeff says. It does feel like a must win for Baltimore. Jeff Favre, what is your favorite type of pretzel? Chocolate covered? You like it salted? You like to add pepperoni on it? How do you like your pretzel?
My favorite pretzel is the giant ones that have jalapeno cheese inside them.
Oof, yes. Yes, that's pretty good. I've had that, actually, a couple of times. That's pretty good. Shoot. All right. Well, anyways, Jeff, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about barbecuing in the fall?
If you want to barbecue in the fall or catch big catfish, follow me at JT Favre on Twitter.
JT Favre on Twitter. You can follow us on the sportscast.net website, the sportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. We've got a full fledge of games this weekend, college to NFL, and of course, Monday Night Football is coming up as well. So looking forward to this weekend. Jeff, great to see you back. Hopefully I'll see you weekly.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and always look forward to it.
All right, let's go football. Let's go Chiefs. Go Dolphins. This was your update.